Good morning, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship service at Second Presbyterian Church in Portsmouth, Ohio. My name is Allison Bauer, and I am the pastor here at Second Pres, and I'm glad you're tuning in to listen to today's service. I am grateful again to the village at Second Pres who helped us to put together this worship service. I'm especially grateful to Dr. Stan Workman for his music, and also to Justin Wiggett, director of music at All Saints Church, for his help with some music and some recording this morning. I'm also grateful to Stan for his sponsorship of today's worship service, which he is doing in memory of his dearly departed loved ones. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Join me in the call to worship. God has given us a new birth in the living hope of the resurrection. Blessed be the God of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Although we have not seen Jesus, we love him. And although we have not seen him, we believe in him. In this we rejoice, even when we suffer trials. For the outcome of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Let us pray. Holy God, you have been made known to us in deeds of power, signs, and wonders. We are humbled by your power and made painfully aware of our sinfulness in light of your glory. Forgive us when we put other things above you, when we choose to live in fear instead of walking by faith, when we are impatient with those working to keep us safe during this coronavirus pandemic. Forgive us and guide us back into your presence that we may know the fullness of joy. Remind us that our sin is forgiven and help us to live in peace with our neighbors. Glorious God, in the resurrection, you have revealed to us that Jesus Christ is your Son and our Savior. Come near to us in this time of worship and strengthen our faith that we may have life in his name. Amen.
Not throw.
Grace and God of glory, send your Holy Spirit upon the reading of your word, that it may serve to show us the path of life and lead us into your presence, where there is fullness of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first scripture reading today is from the letter of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This piece of special music is I Know That My Redeemer Liveth from Handel's Messiah. This is a recording from our 2019 Good Friday performance of Handel's Messiah here at Second Pres. It is sung by Dr. Carlene Waugh, soprano. Our second reading today picks up where we left off last week in chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. Last week, we read that Mary Magdalene has discovered the empty tomb and comes face to face with Jesus, who is risen from the dead. Today's reading starts at verse 19 through verse 31. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my eyes. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mystery makes us uncomfortable. The human mind searches for order to make sense of things, to understand the world, to organize all the data that comes to our awareness. This is the impulse that pushes us towards scientific discovery. It is at the core of legal argumentation and forensic debate. It is the reason we love mystery stories. We possess the keen desire to follow the evidence until a mystery is solved. But faith is a mystery of the heart that the mind wants to solve. And the mystery of the resurrection goes far beyond making the disciples uncomfortable in today's reading from John. The disciples are hiding, and we can hardly blame them for hiding behind locked doors. They are hiding in fear. Fear that they may be the next ones to lose their lives, yes, but also perhaps fear of the mystery of resurrection. Because you see, they can't understand it. They can't make any sense out of it, even after the testimony of Mary Magdalene, who tells them she herself has seen the risen Lord. Or maybe they're afraid that what Mary says is true. To them, Jesus is dead. When they visited his tomb, they saw it for themselves. Nothing in life is more certain than death and, you know, also taxes. Although, as we've seen in this coronavirus pandemic, even taxes have some flexibility in them. And so the disciples are not going to believe that Jesus is alive until they see it for themselves. And just like he did in last week's story at the empty tomb, Jesus shows up among them, offering them peace. Not just once, but twice in the same conversation. And in between these peace offerings, he shows them his hands and his side, the places where the nails and the spear pierced his human flesh. He gives them the proof they maybe didn't even know they needed. He gives them the proof before they can even ask for it. How Jesus appears inside a locked room is a mystery. How his resurrected body still has wounds for the disciples to touch is a mystery. What it means that they will now have the power to forgive sins is certainly a bewildering mystery to them. It is an uncomfortable, confounding mystery. And yet, the disciples see and believe. They all see and they all believe. Everyone, that is, except Thomas. I wonder where he was that day, why Thomas wasn't with the rest of them, hiding behind locked doors. He certainly gets a bad rap from this story, which earns him the nickname Doubting Thomas. But maybe he's really the brave one of the bunch, adventuring out in public while the rest were hiding. Maybe he's the one out risking life and limb bravely to get food and supplies for the rest of his friends who were hiding. We don't know for sure what Thomas was doing that day. But we know he misses Jesus' first appearance behind the locked doors. And frankly, I don't blame him one bit for not believing what the other disciples told them. They didn't believe Mary when she told them what she saw. So why would Thomas believe what they're telling him they saw? It's in our nature to need to see something with our own eyes in order to believe. Thomas needs to solve the mystery. He needs to see it for himself. And 7 days later, Jesus complies with his request to put his fingers in his side. There's an amazing painting by a painter named Caravaggio. And it's called The Incredulity of St. Thomas. It's a painting of this exact moment. And in the style of the Baroque period, the 16 and 1700s in Italy and Rome, Caravaggio is renowned for the incredibly realistic paintings, paintings that use these dramatic swaths of light and shadow to illustrate both the grandeur and the grittiness of the human condition. And in this particular painting, he recreates with kind of grotesque anatomical detail the exact moment when Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And he paints Jesus grabbing Thomas by the wrist, guiding his finger into the spear wound in his side, where Thomas morbidly satisfies his curiosity by probing his finger in Jesus' wound. And in a moment, the mystery is solved, at least as much as it can be. Thomas exclaims a confession of faith. He says, "My Lord and my God." His eyes have been opened. He has experienced the risen Christ personally now, and it changes everything for him. So we don't know why Thomas missed out on Jesus's first appearance. But I'm kind of glad he did, because when Jesus shows up a second time, we get this intimate glimpse of the kind of spiritual transformation that can happen when Jesus shows up in our lives. So let's go back and think about those disciples who were also there with Jesus and Thomas that day. I wonder what they were thinking. Were they totally grossed out by what had just happened? Or were they perhaps a little envious of the physical confirmation Thomas received as a reward for his boldness? Either way, I bet the disciples remembered that touch for the rest of their lives, especially Thomas. John Keats, an English romantic poet who lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s, just about 25 years, he writes a poem about a similar memory of a touch. He writes, "What can I do to drive away remembrance from my eyes? For they have seen I an hour ago my brilliant queen. Touch has a memory. Oh, say, love, say, what can I do to kill it and be free in my old liberty?" Touch has a memory. For Keats, it is a lament over lost love. But for Thomas, touch is an everlasting sign of faith. Touch has a memory for me, several of them, actually. But the one I thought of first is a memory of me crying on the school bus sometime during my junior high days. We were on the way home from school, and I have absolutely no memory of the inciting incident that led to my tears. But what I do remember was the high school boy, his name was Ronnie, who leaned over the seat to ask me what was wrong. And when I couldn't get out any words, he simply put his hand on mine and didn't say anything. Now, I won't go so far as to say that I was spiritually transformed in that moment, but I do remember it and the power of silence and a gentle touch and the overwhelming sense of peace that I got from that touch. There have been 1,000 other touches since then, all with memories attached. Some good ones like Thomas, others I'd rather, like Keats, forget. I'm sure it's the same for you. Touch has a memory. And there's a reason Jesus spends so much of his resurrected time before he ascends back into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, showing himself to the disciples and physically doing things like making breakfast and letting them touch his wounds. He is the glorious combination of eternal power and human frailty, all wrapped up in one resurrected body. And Jesus will do anything he can to give the disciples whatever they need in order to believe. I don't know if anyone has made this happen officially or not, but I'm willing to start a campaign that Thomas should be the patron saint of doubters. Or maybe the patron saint of a time of doubting. Thomas should be the patron saint of those who are determined to make their own way in life and faith. Those who won't accept what someone else believes to be true, but must struggle to find out what truth is on their own. And I love how Jesus doesn't shame or scold or berate Thomas for his doubt, just as he doesn't shame the disciples for their lack of faith when they're hiding behind the locked doors, even after Mary told them she had seen the risen Jesus. He doesn't appear in the room and turn over the table and condemn them to hell for a lack of faith. Jesus meets them right where they are and gives them everything they need in order to believe. He gives them peace. Not the kind of peace the world gives, but the kind of peace that transcends all understanding. I regularly find great comfort in this story, knowing that Jesus doesn't mind when I have my doubts about something or when my faith starts to waver a little bit. But there is, I think, enormous comfort to be found in this story now, during this time of global pandemic. There is comfort in knowing that Jesus welcomes our doubts and our questions and our grief, and all the times we ask why on behalf of others, and even sometimes asking why for ourselves. And just like he did back then with Thomas and the disciples, I believe Jesus still shows up in the middle of our doubt. Perhaps as a voice in our head or a vision while we're sleeping, or maybe even the form of a loved one checking in on us. I believe Jesus still shows up in the middle of our doubt, reaching out to us over and through our doubts to give us everything that we need and to touch us with deep peace. And in that touch, we will have a memory that we can hang on to for the rest of our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This piece of special music is Since by Man Came Death, also from our 2019 performance of Handel's Messiah. This is a performance by the Shawnee State University Choir, as well as the Second Pres and Friends Choir.
Thank you.
Please join with me in the affirmation of faith. This is the good news that we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved, if we hold it fast. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared first to the women, then to Peter, and to the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and our God. Amen. Let us gather together in a word of prayer. Redeeming God, we cry out to you for the suffering of the world. On this day, you stand in solidarity with us, for our pain is your pain. We believe. Help our unbelief. Today we pray for the church, both near and far, that we may always be on the side of the oppressed and not the oppressors. We pray for the gift of faith, that we may put our trust in you, even in times of suffering. And so we pray for those who suffer, that they may feel your presence with them. We pray for the earth, too often crucified by our folly and selfishness. We pray for the Mary Magdalene's and Joseph of Arimathea's of this world, who care for those who struggle and for those who are dying. We pray that through us, you may strengthen them in their service. We pray especially for the ICU staff in hospitals around the world during this COVID-19 crisis. Especially, we pray for those who work in the ICU here in Portsmouth. We pray for all who wrestle with their faith, struggling to know if you are with them. We pray that your face will not be hidden from them. We pray for those who struggle with addiction and recovery in this time of isolation, as well as all those struggling to maintain stable mental health. These problems are real, and we lift up our neighbors in need to you, knowing that you are closest to us when we need you the most. We pray for all the families and all the nations of the earth, that they shall remember and turn toward you and find your peace. And now hear us as we lift up to you from the quietest corners of our hearts the joys and concerns on our hearts and minds today. And now hear us as we pray to you the way the church has prayed for generation after generation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. now receive this benediction. As you face whatever comes your way this week, be strong and courageous. Know that the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid. Instead, be of good courage and know that you are loved. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, and also with you. Please call up a neighbor and pass them the peace of Christ. Thanks again for listening to this Sunday morning worship service. I'm grateful that you tuned in. If you'd like to find out more about Second Pres, you can find us on social media. We have a Facebook page and an Instagram account. You can also check out our website, which is www.secondpres.org. If you have a joy or a concern that you would like us to keep in prayer, you're welcome to give us a call, 740-353-4159, or shoot us an email at secondpres@yahoo.com. We would love to hear from you and hope that you have been blessed in our worship service today. Also, while our building may be closed, the mission and ministry of Second Presbyterian Church continues. So if you'd like to support us, we would greatly appreciate that. Donations can be mailed to our church at 801 Waller Street in Portsmouth, Ohio. Or if you visit our website, we have a giving page and you can give online. Thank you.